Isn't it great that this guy is going to be forever known heretofore as Bean Dad? I'm not one of those moms who is like, oh, I taught her my world-famous bread recipe, and we're passing it down from mother to daughter and daughter to daughter. And it's, you know, like some of those moms who are really good at cooking, they do that with their daughters. I don't do that, you know?
The Mock and Daisy Common Sense Cast.
No one has common sense anymore.
We are back for our very first weekly deep dive into a topic on the Mock and Daisy Show.
You excited about 2021?
I am cautiously optimistic.
I
refuse to be all like, 2021 is my year, because I don't want to jinx it.
Wow, that's really lame. Really lame, Moss.
Why?
I mean, way to just dip your foot in like the shallow end, you know? I'm deep ending it.
You
naked.
Are.
I'm
you
naked.
Are, and I worry that you're basically daring 2021 to outdo 2020.
I am skinny dipping in the deep end, man. I'm in a pond. I'm in like a nasty, murky pond, just naked. I don't just go for it. Just who cares?
The it's leeches 20, are coming, man.
We've been through the worst of some crap. At this point, I'm just like, woo! 2021.
But don't say that, because if you say what else can, how can it get worse? It will. This is my
it's
fear.
Like, you wonder what's coming after the murder hornets. What could there be?
I know.
What possibly could happen? It's like, it's going to be the invasion of the ducks.
Oh my God, I hope that's it.
I know, I actually want that to happen. I want there to be an invasion of ducks. Please God, let there be an invasion of ducks. It would be so great.
It's funny because, it, you know, 2021 had barely begun.
Right.
Before there was already somebody who got canceled on Twitter.
Right. Who was the dumbass this year? Who was it?
This prize goes to, and it was the first weekend of 2021.
Of course.
We now bring you the tale of Bean Dad.
Isn't it great that this guy is going to be forever known heretofore as Bean Dad?
Now, before we get into the nitty gritty, we should point out that the latest update about the story is that he's actually apologized. He's released an apology. We'll get into that.
We will.
But the story itself is just too delicious to ignore. Even though ostensibly it's wrapping up with his apology, it's still a great story to talk about.
Yeah. And how many days ago, because he apologized today, we're recording this, you know.
On the 5th of January.
On the 5th of January. This whole hullabaloo, as you would say, happened what? Around like the
Saturday. This past Saturday.
Which was what day?
That was the second?
Yeah, that was the second. Okay, so it took him 3 whole days to decide, I think I'm going to apologize for that.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of introspecting.
And a lot of looking at the social media and whatnot and thinking, I probably should maybe apologize. And a lot of people know who he is now. He's very popular.
I didn't know that. I never know that he was a thing.
Well, now, but see, that's the thing. I never had heard of this guy, and you'd never heard of this guy. Mm-mm. And now, forevermore, he's going to be known as Bean Dad. And you know what? If nobody had heard of this, if a lot of people, a huge majority of people had not heard of this guy before as a podcaster, he sure does have a following now, good or bad. I mean, because like in our industry, sometimes bad publicity is good publicity, right?
Without question, because now he apparently co-hosts a podcast with Jeopardy's Ken Jennings.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm sure they have a decent following. I don't know what their following is, but I'm sure it's decent just because Ken Jennings is a thing, right?
I mean, it's not like our following. I mean, hello.
I mean, we dwarf them,
right.
I'm sure.
Sure.
So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what their audience size is, but I can guarantee you that the next time they record a podcast, it's going to get downloaded a ton.
Right.
Because people are going to want to know, is Bean Dad going to address the Bean Dad hullabaloo?
Exactly. And then there's going to be a lot of people who click subscribe just because they're going to get some momentum out of this. So you can't tell me that even though they got some bad publicity out of this, they're not enjoying this a little bit.
Oh, they are.
In
without
their pocket.
Question.
And their advertisers aren't enjoying this a little bit. So, hello.
Which is really a lesson to us that we need to not abuse our kids, but at least be accused of abusing our kids. then maybe we'll explode in popularity.
Right. This is what we're doing wrong, Mock. We got to bring our kids into this and, like, deprive them of beans for 6 hours. Right. Why have I not thought of this? Damn it.
I know. I wish it were that easy. Unfortunately, this gets tied into the fact that John Roderick, that's Bean Dad's real name, he is a good writer and an interesting writer. And he took to Twitter on Saturday night to tell a story in a very long and drawn out way about his 9-year-old hungry daughter who wanted some baked beans. And so she brings this can of beans to him and she's like, Daddy, I want beans. Yeah. And he decides, I'm going to use this as a teaching moment. And he tells a 23-tweet long story about how he approached his daughter requesting beans. He decided, it's about time for my 9-year-old daughter to learn how to open a jar or a can of beans by herself with the old-fashioned, you know, thingamajiggy, the can opener.
Right.
So the whole entire tweet storm from him is about telling how he explained to his daughter, you can't have the beans until you figure out how to open them with this contraption. And he hands her a can opener. You know, she's never seen anything like this in her entire life.
Exactly.
She's trying to figure it out. She's struggling. He's telling the story of her struggle. As she's struggling. And ultimately, and it's funny and it's kind of, you know, he's just good at telling the story in a way that's really entertaining.
He's a writer. He's a storyteller. This is what he does.
Absolutely.
And he probably embellished a little bit, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. A little.
I think so.
On the struggle, maybe a little.
Yeah. I think that's a fair way to say it.
Yeah.
And ultimately, he reveals that, you know, she gets frustrated. There are tears. He will not back down because he knows she can do it. He has faith in his daughter. She's going to figure this out. After multiple attempts, she was like poking holes in this thing. I mean, it was a disaster. And ultimately, there's a part of the story where he says, you can't have the beans. It's been 6 hours. 6 hours goes by and she struggles with the can opener. And at that point, people started to respond to his story that he was abusive because how dare he allow his poor, hungry daughter to go for so long without feeding her.
Yeah.
And they treated it as child abuse.
Yeah.
And so,
like she was a starving orphan.
Yeah. And so the way that this whole thing ended is it was great, right? Like he ended the story by saying she finally figured it out. She ate the beans. And the only problem now is she wants to open every can in the house.
Right.
So it was obvious that his teaching moment taught her how to open the can opener. Everybody's happy. They eat the beans. It doesn't stop the Twitter brigade from the accusations of child abuse. They're convinced.
But his lesson paid off, right? Okay. His way of parenting ultimately paid off. He showed people that, listen, you can actually do this in this day and age. It kind of like harkens back to a time when we were like latchkey kids. And this is like the way that, I guess, sort of this is the way that some parents parented, right? The only difference is they didn't talk about it on social media.
Right.
They just did it. This is just how they
did it. Yeah, we just did it. I had a little necklace that I wore, a little leather pouch that I wore as a necklace that had my house key in it.
Yeah. My parents would hide our house key, like, I don't know, under some rocks, like near our front door or like around like the side of the house. You know, we'd find it. But there were some days where I couldn't find it. There were some days I actually broke in to the back window of our house and I would climb up on a chair and break into a window of my house. I mean, I'm not even kidding. Like the stories that I could tell of my childhood, they'd be horrified with my parents. They would be like, oh my God, her parents are terrible that she broke in to the back window on her upper deck of her house, you know, in this nice neighborhood, right? I mean.
Well, and our parents didn't make us wear seatbelts.
No. I my dad would let me sit on his lap and steer the car as he was driving. I mean, it's like, what kind of parenting is that? I mean, some of the things that they allowed us to do, and then and I look back on this and I'm thinking, okay, so I wasn't taught everything by my parents. I wasn't. They didn't teach me everything. Sometimes they just let me free range, you know, sort of like what he did, sort of like what Bean Dad did. Is that necessarily the right way to parent? I don't know. I don't really parent that way. I parent a little bit differently than my parents did. I kind of take a hybrid approach sometimes, you know, because I don't cook. So I'm not good at teaching my daughter how to cook, you know?
Right.
I think to myself, God, I'm really bad at this. Like, she's going to grow up one day and I'm not one of those moms who is like, oh, I taught her my world famous bread recipe and we're passing it down from mother to daughter and daughter to daughter. And it's, you know, like some of those moms who are really good at cooking, they do that with their daughters. I don't do that, you know, cause I suck at cooking. my mom never taught me how to cook, and it's not my mom's fault. She just didn't. And then I just never enjoyed it. Even if she taught me, I would have been like, this sucks, cause I don't like it. You know, and so I just don't cook, so I don't teach my daughter. The great thing is that my daughter actually seems to enjoy to cook. She enjoys cooking, and so she will go in the kitchen every so often and cook, and she'll do that, thank God. Because if she wanted to get, like last night I told her about this story, and I'm like, can you use this can opener? It was a manual can opener.
Yeah.
Because we have both. We have the electric and we have a manual. And I'm like, can you use this? She didn't know how to use it.
I guarantee you my 15-year-old wouldn't know how to do it. She would have no idea.
No idea how to use it. And she was like, she kind of fiddled with it for a couple, you know, like a minute. And she was like, oh my God. She looked at me like, I have no clue. And she's a smart kid. She's a 10-year-old, you know, pretty, you think that she would be able to figure it out. And she looked at me and she goes, Mommy, I don't know if I can figure this out. And I was like, okay, let me show you. And I showed her like the beginning. I'm like, this is where it goes. This is where the little silver thing goes. And I showed her. And then she was like, oh, okay. So I showed her once. So, I mean, I think there were a lot of people that were writing him and saying to him, maybe you could have done it that way. You could have just you should have showed her maybe one time. And maybe that's another option rather than having her figure it out on her own. Cause that would have saved some time. Like what did she gain? What is the advantage of having her struggle? Is that the triumph of
achieving the goal?
Is that what it is? Okay.
I guess. I'm assuming that's how he would justify it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Just figuring it out on your own. And that's what we're not doing enough with our kids. All right.
I mean, I guess. I gotta tell you, I read the whole 23 tweet string when it was still posted. And I was like, I don't understand why this is a big deal.
Yeah.
6 hours. And he started writing back and fighting with all the people that were making these accusations against him. And one of the things he said was, people are acting as though a 6 hour time span is child abuse.
No.
That's normal between lunch and dinner.
Totally.
That's literally how long we wait.
Well, I will tell you, I definitely don't think it's child abuse. And if I, you know, at the end of that, the tweet storm, I didn't think it was, I don't perceive it as child abuse.
Right.
I just probably wouldn't have done that. Because to be honest with you, I don't have the patience to have a war with my kid for 6 hours over a can of beans. You know what I mean? And also, my 10-year-old probably would have already moved on to nachos or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. They would have just given up.
She would have gone on and been like, I'm going to go and get some chips or something, because these beans are not that important. You know what I mean? There would have been something else that she could have grabbed besides beans. So, but I guess it's just for me, it's a patience thing. I get the whole, okay, I hear what you're saying about the getting through a struggle. You know, perhaps she gains that lesson through sports. Or, you know, something else in her life where it's not with a can of beans.
Yeah. You know? That was an interesting approach, for sure.
Yeah.
But just to give you an example of some of the backlash, there was one guy that said, you're an asshole, dude. From one dad to another, this story is nothing to be proud of. You taught your daughter how little you care about her needs and only your need to show how much smarter you are than she is. Feed her and then teach her and then delete your account. That's the kind of stuff that he was getting. And
okay.
He started initially to fight, and then it got so bad and people started to dig up old tweets of him from forever ago that were not necessarily all that kind to people in general. Then he got completely canceled. He deleted his account. And then Ken Jennings announced, oh, by the way, for those of you who don't know, this is actually my co-host on our podcast. You know what I mean? That's been where we were for the last couple days.
But see, this is where we get into the whole discussion of, you put yourself out there and you start talking about how you choose to parent or how you choose to do anything that is that has to do with your life, that has to do with your personal life.
Yeah.
And people are going to come at you, brah.
Exactly, because that's what they do.
Especially
on
Twitter.
That.
Right. I mean, that's what that is precisely what they do. I mean, this is a very long tweet thread. And he should have seen that coming, right?
Well, and wasn't it exactly the kind of attention he really was? I'm sure he was hoping for more positive attention, but he was hoping for attention regardless.
Right.
By posting that story to begin with.
Yeah.
Before we get to the apology, can we just talk about AMAC really quick? Because
I finally had
a chance to like look through their latest magazine, and I liked it. I was like, this is really, really awesome.
Too.
It's just like this nice wealth of information that you get.
Yeah, and they profile conservative people in there. I love it. Absolutely love it. Mm-hmm.
And if you're listening to this podcast right now and you're a member of AARP and you have been a member because you've thought that that's the only group out there for retired people to find out, first of all, to get the senior discounts and then to find out about all kinds of different Social Security rules or medical insurance rules and those kinds of things. It's not your only option. AMAC is our choice because they lobby for conservative causes.
Yeah. Listen, you say it's for just retired. It's not just for retired people. It's for people like me who are thinking about retiring.
Dreaming.
Who want to retire one day. And it's just for mature people like me or people who think they're mature like me.
They're counting it mature, like just age-wise, but not mental-wise.
Exactly. You guys, we stand with AMAC. We hope that you stand with AMAC. They're awesome. They have incredible discounts. I mean, the price is like next to nil. It's just the most fantastic organization. We encourage you to join today. AMAC.us/chicks. That's AMAC.us/chicks. The benefits of membership are fantastic because the cause is even greater. Join today. AMAC.us/chicks.
Do it. Do it now.
Do it.
Okay, so to the apology. Now, you know, I get really annoyed when people just immediately feel like they have to apologize just because other people got offended.
Right.
That drives me crazy most of the time.
Yeah, we hate that. Yeah.
Yeah. And especially when it's in reaction to people who I believe are overly offended and outraged when just go away and mind your own business. You know what I mean?
It's basically giving in to the mob.
Yeah. And he has given in because he took down his account. I believe it's still down and will be for some time. And in this apology, it's actually one of the best apologies I've ever read. Because in it, he explains that maybe he didn't tell the story in a way that demonstrated all the love that was actually happening between him and his daughter.
Yeah.
And he was trying too hard to be funny, to be sarcastic. And so he understands why people saw him as this asshole. Like, for example, he says, "My story was poorly told. I didn't share how much laughing we were doing, how we had a bowl of pistachios between us all day as we worked on the problem, or that we'd both had a full breakfast together a few hours before. Her mom was in the room with us all day, laughing at us, telling us to be quiet while she worked. We all took turns on the jigsaw puzzle." He left out some of the details that would have provided more context about the kind of family that they are.
Yeah.
And he's admitting that.
But how can you convey love on Twitter?
Yeah.
How can you do that? I mean, Twitter is the 13th circle of hell. There is no way. I mean, have you ever seen a lot? I mean, seriously, have you ever felt a lot of love on Twitter?
Oh, God, especially, place you need to find it.
Right. Especially familial love, like the kind of family love that you can only get when you're in your home with your family and nobody else is around. You can't convey that on social media. And so, I mean, it's a huge mistake even trying to try.
Yeah.
even attempting to give it a shot on Twitter, to put that in. Well, I don't even know how many characters are in a tweet. 140 characters?
It's I don't remember.
I don't even know
either
what it is now. But attempting that in those little short bursts of tweets, it's like how. It's one thing to maybe try to convey that in a book or or in a movie. But on that medium, I just like, what are you thinking?
Especially because he wrote this apology on his own website. It's johnroderick.com/an apology. And,
right,
you know, he took time to write out all of it. He could have just as easily written out the story with all the color that he wanted to write it in and then linked to it on Twitter.
Exactly. Or you could have told the story like on his podcast.
Yeah.
Which would have been maybe a great medium to do it. But Twitter, oh my God, it's like where the wolves go.
Yeah.
You know, to just for fresh meat. It's like that is just the worst place. And he probably, knows that, I'm sure, now.
Oh, he does. He said, I woke up yesterday to discover that I had become Bean Dad.
Yeah.
I was a locust for a tremendous outpouring of anger and grief, and it took me hours to fully grasp. I reread the story and saw clearly that I had framed it poorly, insensitively. Bean Dad, full of braggadocio and dickhead swagger, was hurting people. I'd conjured an abusive parent that many people recognized from real life. And he actually then went on to talk about how some of the phrasing and the words that he used, he could understand, triggered people who had been the victims of abusive parents, that he was using some of the same things that may have actually come from people who had been abused and it affected them that way.
Yeah.
So he apologized for that, apologized for some of his old tweets that were, you know, dragged out of however many years ago.
Hi, I'm Sarah Carter, host of the Sarah Carter Podcast. Everywhere you look these days, we're seeing an aggressive effort to destroy what made America great, tearing down our history, attacking our freedoms, and canceling any person who dares to cross the progressive speech police. We cannot stand by and let this happen. It's time for the silent majority to become the unsilent majority. Join me on the Sarah Carter Podcast. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He said, I'm sorry that those resurfaced and hurt people, people who are close to me, people who couldn't match those words up with the person that they know that I am. He said, my language wasn't appropriate then or now. He said, to end it off, he said, I'm a middle-aged, middle-class, straight white male, and I try to be cognizant of that and of the responsibility my privileges entail in everything I do. I know, that was the part that I was just like, shut
Whatever.
Up. And at the very end, he says, I have a lot more reflecting to do in the coming days, so I will be taking a hiatus from my public life to let some of these lessons sink in. I apologize to my partners, my friends, and to all the people affected by my words for the hurt that I caused. And it's a very genuine, sincere apology,
yeah,
as far as apologies go.
It is. It's genuine and sincere. I saw when I was looking around the interwebs about the story, there was somebody, and I can't remember the tweet, but it was in the context, so I can give you like the gist of what they were saying. Somebody on Twitter was complaining about how latchkey kids, he sounds a lot like latchkey kids, like the way that she grouped all of us in with this guy. And I thought that was interesting because I was a latchkey kid, you were a latchkey kid,
mm-hmm.
and the way that we perceive this is like not a big deal, and the way that he spoke in these tweets is just very like matter of fact and everything, just and she's like, and I just hate that generation of latchkey kids and how they treat people and how they are because of how they were treated and how they were latchkey kids, and they think that everybody should be that way, and that's not the way that it should be. And I just was thinking to myself, wow, because I was a latchkey kid, you know, and so were you, and a lot of kids in the 80s were. And so we look at this and we're just kind of like, you know, what's the big deal?
Feel worse off personally?
Do I feel worse off for being a latchkey kid?
Yeah.
No, not
at all. I don't either.
No. In fact, I feel like I'm, you know, when I got out of school, I felt very independent. And I always have been very independent. I've been very strong-willed my whole life. I think that has a lot to do with it. I've always been, you know, I've always had a lot of confidence, you know? I've just felt like, you know, I've had my moments where I haven't. But, I mean, for the most part, I think that enabled me to be, if I wasn't that kid, I don't think I would have had the same kind of personality that I have.
Yeah.
I think that was part of who I was. I think that 80s kids were kind of tough because of that. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense because I feel like those are qualities that are missing from a lot of the,
yeah,
you know, the Z's and even some millennials. They're
right.
Missing that because they were way more sheltered.
It's a toughness. It's just, I think that's the only way I can describe it. It's just a toughness. Not that we were like raised in the streets or anything.
Right.
But I mean, I think it's just a level of our parents were both, you know, my parents, I can only speak for myself. My parents were both working and, you know, I'd come home, I'd fend for myself. And mm-hmm. they loved me. My parents have always loved me. I've always felt loved, but I've always felt very independent. And I think that that's been a cornerstone of who I am as a person.
And it's not a bad thing.
No, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think mm-hmm. that's always been a very good thing. And I try very hard to instill independence in my daughter the best way that I can, even though she's not a latchkey kid at all. And yeah. so in the certain ways that I can do it, like, you know, at 10, I'm like, learn how to do the laundry, you know, even though she's not very good at it. It's like she's, you know, and she doesn't want to do it. I try to teach her how to do the things that I had to do out of necessity, you know, even though she doesn't really, I mean, I do most of the laundry, but I teach her how to do those things. I think that this guy is, he was trying to do something and trying to prove a point and trying to parent in a way that he was probably parented.
Yeah.
And that he knows, like a lot of us understand. And so for us, it wasn't a big deal. For us, it was like, oh, okay, he's just a kid of the 80s, right? And so many people got so butthurt because they didn't experience that like we did.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just interesting how people so quickly had this need to shame him as a parent.
Oh, my God.
To assume the worst, right? And he's
right.
owning some of that. But at the same time, it's just so interesting that when, like, you and I read through the tweets, we're like,
right.
Why are people freaking out about this?
Yeah,
people are acting as though he said, and so I smacked her across the face, you know, right. over and over again until she figured it out. I mean, it was nothing like that.
Oh, my God. They totally did. Some of the tweets are just ridiculous. The way I'd love to check in with his little girl in about 10 years and ask her about this.
Yeah.
And ask her how much she loves her daddy.
I bet she loves him a lot.
And how much she's learned from her daddy. And I mm-hmm. guarantee you that they probably are really close. And that she has just nothing but love for him, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
And so we'll check in with her about
And I bet you anything, she's going around asking all of her friends if they can figure out how to use a can opener.
Right. And none of them can, and she can, right? Exactly. I love it.
It's a win under her belt, for sure.
Exactly.
All right. I don't know who we're going to be talking about getting canceled next week.
I know.
Because we're already just 5 days in, and somebody's already being canceled.
There'll probably be somebody. Who knows? Or maybe something political is happening, because, you know, nothing political is happening in the world right now.
No.
Mm-mm. Nothing.
Just the
not at
fate
all.
Of our entire country is hanging in the balance. No
nothing.
Big deal.
I mean, no big whoop. Nothing. Yeah. So, you guys, stay tuned for another episode next week. Until then, check us out on all the places. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast first and foremost. It's the Mock and Daisy Show on YouTube. Tell all of your friends about it. You can check us out on Facebook, Instagram at Chicks on Right, Twitter at Chicks on Right, Parler at Chicks on Right. Where else, Mock? What am I forgetting?
Website, chicksontheright.com. Make
yes.
sure to check us out there every single day where there is always fresh content.
Yes. And you guys, we'll talk to you next week.
Hi, I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday on the Three Martini Lunch as we dissect the day's good, bad, and crazy news. Each day, you'll get our original and fun insights into everything from presidential politics to the war on punctuation to Jim's hammering the media's pathetic efforts to turn Andrew Cuomo into a hero.
And he's got everything. He's got the personality, he's got the brother, he's got the charm, he's got the jokes. Greg, he's got everything except the actual success.
Subscribe to the Three Martini Lunch at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.